Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com, Upwork.com.
Welcome to Bollywood is for Lovers. I'm Erin Fraser.
And I'm Matt Bose. It's March, so you know what that means. It's time for our annual Madhuri Madness, where we explore the cinematic world of one of Bollywood's most enduring actresses.
First up, she plays a New York choreographer who returns to her hometown in India and has to rally the townsfolk to put on a show and save the theater in Anil Mehta's Ajan Nachle from 2007.
Then she plays a housewife who reveals a big personal secret to her family that could derail her son's engagement to the daughter of a rich NRI couple in 2022's Majama by Anand Tiwari.
Before we begin, we would like to respectfully acknowledge that we record this podcast on Treaty 6 territory, home to First Nations and Métis people. Matt, it's March, as we said. It is our annual Madhuri Madness. This is our take on March Madness. Mm-hmm. No basketball, but lots of dancing.
I'm picking Duke this year for actual March Madness.
Okay.
Well, Madhuri, I know nothing about basketball, the way. It's all vibes.
Well, Madhuri Dixit always wins our March Madness.
Yeah, she wins our bracket. She wins the bracket every single year. It's amazing.
Every year. So we've been doing this annually in March for a few years now. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think this is going to be our last Madhuri Madness for a while.
She needs to make some more movies.
Yeah, we've kind of covered every era of her career. Obviously, we haven't just covered every film she's been in.
But they could be covered in other episodes.
Yeah, and also there are many of her films that we have discussed that did not feature in Madhuri Madness. But mm-hmm. we've gone from the 1980s and we're all the way up to 2022 in this episode. So we are firmly in the 2000s. And I'll just give you a quick recap of kind of where we are in Madhuri Dixit's career. So we ended our last Madhuri Madness with 2001. So she starred in 2 films in 2002, Hum Tumhare Hain Sanam, which from what I understand had been like in the works for over 5 years.
It seems like filming. A lot of her movies get delayed like that.
Well, I don't know if it's her or there's just kind of some pretty prominent examples of this.
Or it's funding that falls through, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So that was one of them. But more importantly, Devdas.
Oh, I've heard of that.
which we have discussed. Great movie. It's excellent.
Yeah. Pretty solid film.
One of her most iconic films. And one of her most iconic roles. And after that, she took a 5-year break from acting to focus on her married life in Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. So she kind of famously gave up being a Bollywood star to go be a housewife in Denver to get married and have a couple of kids. But she didn't stay away, 5 years is pretty long, but in the grand scheme of things, she didn't stay away for that long. She returned in 2007 with Ajan Nachle, which we will be discussing. She then took another break, so I guess maybe she did stay away for longer than I'm implying. But in 2010, she kind of launched her career as a reality TV dance judge, which she's been doing essentially since 2010 on
steady gig.
Yeah, various different dance shows. She also hosts a cooking show at some point in there.
Oh, that's interesting.
So yeah, a lot of kind of small screen work and really, you know, using her expertise. And I think one of the things that she's most known for, dance.
Mm-hmm.
She returned to the silver screen in 2013 in an item number in Yeah, Giovanni, Hi, Giovanni, which we have seen.
Yeah.
It's at the top of the film and it's a great number.
Great movie.
In 2014 is when she kind of returned to kind of
acting.
Yeah. She appeared in both Dead Ishkia and Gulab Gang. We've covered Gulab Gang, and I've seen Dead Ishkia, but you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a sequel to Ishkia,
which we have both seen.
Yes. Another kind of adventure with Nawazuddin Siddiqui and Arshad Warsi.
It's kind of a noir type film.
Yeah. Instead of Vidya Balan, who was in Ishkia, you have Madhuri Dixit and Huma Qureshi. It's quite good, and yeah, we should find a time for you to watch it.
Someday.
But, you know, definitely better than, probably better than both the films that we're discussing.
I like Ajahn Ashley.
But it's a bit more of a supporting, it's a supporting lead role. It's, yeah. She started in her first Marathi film in 2018. That was Bucket List. And then she didn't appear on screen in another Hindi language film until 2019, where she was in Total Damal and Kalank.
We saw Kalank.
Yeah, and I've seen Total Damal. They're even more supporting than Dead Ishkia, and mm-hmm. I don't think we want to talk about either of them.
Kalank, she had a character, but again, she wasn't really the main focus.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Sanjay Dutt had a relationship, right?
Yeah, it kind of feels like...
a Devdas retread?
Kind of, yeah, but yeah. In 2022, she starred in the Amazon Prime film Majama, which you're going to be discussing, and the Netflix series The Fame Game, which is...
We talked about
what kicked off Madhuri Madness. No, not last year. We talked about it in 2022.
Yeah,
so we've been doing Madhuri Madness since 2022.
There'll probably be another season of that. I think it was kind of a cliffhanger, wasn't it?
No, it got canceled. Oh. It was they left it open, and it was a bit of a cliffhanger for a second season, but it got canceled. Unfortunately, because I liked it.
It was pretty good, yeah.
She was most recently in Bulbulia 3 last year, which we have also seen.
And talked about. That was pretty good.
Yeah. 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 She's very good. But I preferred Bulbulia 2. Has nothing to do with her, though.
No.
Yeah. Anything to say about 2000s? The past 20 years of Madhuri Dixit.
It would be really nice to take off work and just be with your family whenever you want and have enough money to do that. Maybe we should marry a dentist.
She was also, since 2010, she's been doing a ton of reality TV, like, a ton mm-hmm. of the dance judging. I think it's a credit to her star power that she can step away and come back.
Well, that's something we thought about both of these movies, that she is the only actress who could carry these, and she is the main character.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like this script was written for anyone else. Like, these are Madhuri Dixit vehicles.
Yeah. Though I will say that kind of everything kind of since Devdas, I think there's been some good films here. I talked about how good Dead Ishkia is. I like Gulab Gang. I also like Ajahn Ashley, which we're going to discuss. And I liked The Fame Game. But none of them, I think, have kind of the...
Prestige?
Maybe it's not the prestige, but none of them feel kind of iconic.
Well, yeah.
Not like Dil To Pagohe, not like Tazab.
Sure, she's had so many iconic roles. It's like... It's not bad that she has not had one lately. She's had so many. Like, most actors don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
So, she probably realized after Devdas, like, holy shit, like, at the top of my game now, I should retire.
Yeah, and I mean, she's not the only actress who has taken a break to focus on her family and come back, and it hasn't, maybe that it's been a bit uneven. I'm thinking also of Aishwarya Rai. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm interested in whatever Madhuri Dixit wants to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, the projects have been okay to fine.
Yeah.
With the exception of one we're going to talk about soon. But, like, yeah, there hasn't really been an iconic thing.
Yeah.
She should have been in Hiramandi or something, right? Like, that seems like a place that she could have really been a good, probably supporting character. But, like, she's great in that sphere. And Bhansali worked with her already. Like, she could have really made that a lot better.
But I also really liked that Hiramandi brought Minisha Kerala back. Yeah. So, you know, kind of when I think about, like, well, where would Madhuri Dixit have
Something like that, though. Like,
yeah.
An auteur that she's worked with in the past. It would be nice if she did more of those.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it is a little frustrating that this is a lot more common for actresses than it is for actors.
Well, there's only so many roles for women of a certain age in every film medium across the world. Like, but
yeah,
it does feel like unless she's in Total Dhamal or something, like just a cameo or doing an item number, like these movies are kind of constructed around her.
Yeah.
And you can't always get someone to do that for you.
Yeah. And I guess, like, you know, we saw a similar thing that I think was very successful with Sri Devi coming back with English of English and Mom. I guess, like, where I'm going with this is I would like women to have it all. I would like women to, you know.
She says she hasn't. I mean, she's had an amazing career.
I think she does have it all.
She has she seems like she likes her family.
I think she
does. Like, sounds like things are going well.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I think she does have it all. And these are obviously projects she's choosing to do. And I think they are interesting and, like you said, kind of clearly built for her persona. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's important that women have the opportunity to balance their families and their home life with their careers. And if that means stepping away for periods of 5 years, coming back and doing something, stepping away, maybe pivoting to TV, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, the point is, you know, unfortunately, and this is just kind of not exclusive to Bollywood, but as women age, there are less roles and there are less opportunities. And
she probably has her own production company. I feel like she did for the Fame Game, but it seems like that's what you do, is you set up your own company to make roles specifically for you.
Yeah, I know she produced a Marathi film that she wasn't in. Anyways, anything else we want to say before getting into the movies?
Nope, I'm going to tell you who's in Ajanachla.
Okay.
And then you could tell me the story.
Yeah, which means come dance or let's dance. Yeah.
Yeah, so came out in 2007, directed by Neil Mehta. What a cast in this picture.
Mm-hmm.
Much more exciting than the next picture's cast. This is crazy. You got Madhuri Dixit, Akshay Khanna, Irfan Khan, Kokana Sen Sharma, Kunal Kapoor, Divya Dutta, Ranveer Shuri, and Nawazuddin Siddiqui.
Yeah.
Basically in his not quite junior artiste, but not quite like full character. He did so many of these. He just kind of shows up as like a third string guy.
Yeah.
Before he started getting the roles. But like, it's always fun to see him in the background. You've got down here that this was initially banned in UP, Haryana, and Punjab.
Yes. From what I understand, there was a lyric. It has since been changed in the title song, Ajanachle, that was viewed as casist.
Okay.
And so when the film was initially coming out, it was banned in these three provinces, and this potentially hurt the box office. Hmm. They did change the lyric, and the film was eventually able to come out in those provinces, but yeah, it seemed worth mentioning.
Huh. It's also was not critically well received and had poor box office, maybe due to that thing you just mentioned, but that seems surprising. But it was nominated for two Filmfare Awards, Best Actress and Best Female Playback Singer.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in this movie?
You know, this is one of those plots, kind of one of those stock plots that I think when done well is a surefire thing. Mm-hmm. And it's the, you know, like, let's save the theater.
Let's put on a show.
Let's put on a show and save the theater. You also have variations of this, of let's save the rec center, let's save the hockey rink.
The old folks
home. Let's save the old folks home. Let's save the community center. Let's save the dojo.
Constantly things are under threat by what? Crooked land developers.
It's always crooked land developers.
This one has a bit of a little extra spin on it, because in addition to being a crooked land developer, he's also a prince.
Well, he's Akshay Khanna is not the land developer.
Irfan's the crooked land developer. Akshay Khanna owns the land.
Yes.
In that he owns everything.
Yeah. But this is just one of those plot lines, like one of those plot structures that I think is like, it's really easy to get on board with. Mm-hmm. And when done well, I just think is always a home run.
Tell me about Steve. I think that was his name, right?
So Madhuri Dixit, she plays, as I said at the top of the show, choreographer in New York.
I think her name is Dia.
Yeah. We are giving kind of her backstory when the film opens, that she grew up in kind of this small town in India. She studied dance and she fell in love with like a white man. She fell in love with a tourist.
Pretty sure he was a National Geographic photographer.
Yeah. And her family, her parents are not going to accept this. So she ends up running away, moving to the US, and they essentially don't speak after that.
And surprisingly enough, they never come back again.
Yeah.
That was the biggest surprise in the whole movie.
They never return in the film. But who does return in her life is her dance teacher, who is on his deathbed, and he calls her back. She doesn't get there in time. Also, her and Steve didn't work out, though.
Surprise. Shocker.
She has a daughter out of the relationship.
A very annoying daughter.
So her and her
She's
daughter
the worst part of the movie.
Go back to her small town in India, where unfortunately she doesn't make it in time before her guru has passed away, but he's recorded a message for her. And when she gets there, she finds that the theater that she grew up practicing at and performing at is kind of fallen into disrepair, and a crooked land developer played by Irfan Khan, who happens to be her childhood best friend's husband, wants to tear it all down and build a shopping mall.
And she was basically like the marquee attraction of the dance studio.
Yeah, like, she's an incredible dancer.
Her big show was like the last thing that happened.
Yeah.
And then she runs off with Steve, but it kind of like breaks the back of the dance industry there too.
Yeah, so she makes a deal with Akshay Khanna,
who's a prince,
that if she can get the entire town to come out and see a show, but also starring people within the town, then she can prove that, you know, this theater is important, and he will not sell the land to the crooked land developer.
Yeah, because he knows that she could just bring in her squad of ringers from New York.
Exactly. So, which is what she does initially. She brings in her dance troupe from New York. They put on a fantastic performance to the song Aja Nachle. Mm-hmm. That, like, is just, yeah, it's a spectacle. It's a ton of fun.
Shows those country roots. What's up?
From there, her plan is to put on a performance with Leila Majnu with the townsfolk. So she gets to casting. Kunal Kapoor gets cast as Majnu. Konkana Sen Sharma as Leila.
Kunal Kapoor is like a local rowdy, I guess, who gets hired to bust up the place.
Sen Sharma is kind of an unrefined woman.
She's kind of a stinky girl who likes Kunal Kapoor, and he hates her.
Yeah.
Because she's annoying.
I guess I should say what Ranbir Shore is doing there. He's kind of the guy that she was supposed to marry back in the day.
He runs a cafe.
Yeah. Yeah.
She left him at the altar to run away with Steve.
Yeah. This is, you know, this is maybe a slight film, but I don't know, Matt. I was really taken with it. It's very straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Not a huge amount of surprises.
No. It's really, I think, like, it's anchored by these performances, you know, these songs that Madhuri Dixit performs, as well as, because we have a great opening one also where she's in her dance studio in New York. And then this like extended performance of the townsfolk doing Leila Majnu, which she is also in. And so
she's kind of the narrator.
Yeah. So you have like that spectacle.
It's like a good half hour. The last chunk of the movie is just
I think it's at least 20 minutes.
It's their show.
But, you know, this is like, it's just full of a cast of really engaging characters who you really root for. Like, maybe everything is a little surface level. Mm-hmm. But I think this is just kind of the perfect example of this kind of movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's a concept that when done well, works really well. Mm-hmm. It's basically the same thing as Break Into Electric Boogaloo. they have to do a dance show to save the rec center.
Yeah.
But what it does really nicely is it sets up a bunch of characters who remember her from before or are new friends that she meets. And then she finds out how they could lend their lend a hand to the production.
Yeah.
Even Nawaz gets in on the action. He's just kind of hanging around and he overhears some skullduggery happening. And he joins the show as the as the teacher who whips the kids when they're little and, you know, the sort of wounds transfer between the children's hands. He does that. But yeah, he's just kind of Ranveer Shori's buddy otherwise.
And despite the fact that Akshay Khanna kind of like really makes a point of saying like, oh, I'm the villain.
He's such a vamp. It's so good.
He's really good. I think like it is kind of a movie where by the end, like everyone wins.
Yeah, Irfan's wife kind of secretly joins the performance and even he's just like, I could build a mall somewhere else. Like, that's the thing about building a mall. Like, there's probably land not on the ancestral theater that everyone loves that you could build a mall on. Just ask Akshay Khanna if there's anywhere else around that you could do it.
I also think, like, it's an incredibly kind of relatable plot and kind of theme throughout the film.
Because it's just theater.
Like, and it's about community. It's about people coming together and the importance of that. You know, I was really struck while we were watching it, kind of the difference between this approach to art and this approach to artistic creation with something like Dil To Pagal Hai, which I do love. Fantastic movie. Probably a better movie than this one, but
it's probably more memorable.
Yeah, but Dil To Pagal Hai is so much about kind of the single artistic ego of Shah Rukh Khan. You know, he's this great choreographer. He has this vision of this incredible performance, and he's looking for the woman. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's very much about him bringing his art to the stage and to other people, yes, but it's feeding his ego.
He's an auteur.
Yes. Whereas one of the things that I love about Ajahn Nachle is this is about art as social cohesion. Mm-hmm. This is about the importance of art within community. I mean, about people coming together and maybe not being at a professional level, although like the performance that we do see looks very expensive and looks very well done.
And also, if you wrote the script a different way, like I'm sure that she made all of those decisions. It's just the story's not shown as just like Madhuri Dixit showing up and telling everyone what to do. Everyone gets a chance to participate.
Yeah, and you know, like, and also from like the audience of the film, you know, we do want some payoff.
Yeah.
You know, so like, you know, I do think this is probably what we see on screen certainly feels a cut above like your average community production.
Probably.
Also, behind the scenes at a show also is another good.
Yeah.
It's another like plot structure that always works. So it really,
you don't get a lot of behind the scenes during the performance, but you do get like the casting and just things that happen along the way.
Yeah. But I think for like a lot of the art that's created around the world is not, you know, necessarily at the professional level. You know,
it's
community theater and community spaces and community performance, I think, is incredibly important. So I really appreciate it. Like, that's what really got to me. I got like kind of emotional watching this film.
Well, think about the Fringe here. Like,
yeah,
yes, there are professional theater companies, but You can also, if you got enough money, you can rent out a space and do a one-woman show about whatever weird stuff you want to do.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen as much these days. It's gotten a bit more expensive to do it. But the Fringe is where you can just do whatever weird shit comes to your mind. And, you know, here and Edinburgh is the big one. But, like, people have done Fringe shows in bathrooms. Mm-hmm. They've done Fringe shows in the smallest venues possible.
Yeah.
And if you just have something you want to say, it doesn't even matter if anyone goes. But the possibility of being able to do it and perform it is there.
Yeah.
It's a good valve, a safety valve for a lot of people.
Well, and I think, like, so for me, I just, like, I got really wrapped up in what this film had to say about community and about art, mm-hmm. and about the importance of art and art's participation within a community.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, yeah, maybe that's not deep, but I did find the film very meaningful,
mm-hmm.
Which I think kind of surprised me because, you know, like I said, it's on the surface is a very kind of straightforward and simple movie, but I think it really, I think the message of it, you know, like I said, I think it's something that a lot of people, especially if you love art, you know, mm-hmm. if you love film, if you love theater, if you love dance, whether or not you ever wanted to be a part of that or not, I think it's something that, you know, really resonates. So, yeah, I don't know, this kind of sweet, simple little film to me felt like it was kind of saying something really important that I think a lot of people take for granted.
It did not seem very cynical at all. Mm-hmm. It does not have a cynical bone in its body.
Yeah.
And even Akshay Khanna, like...
You're right, he is vamping, and he's, like, he's great.
He has interplay with the daughter. The daughter's annoying.
The daughter's annoying,
She doesn't like India. She's worried about the food, if she's going to get sick, about the water. Meanwhile, it's just like, Steve fell in a big pile of cow poo. Like, you should have an amazing immune system, because Steve had to deal with everything when he was there.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Steve didn't show up again. He was kind of boring.
Yeah.
He was kind of a white, actually kind of look, though. It was Madhuri's character has a certain, she has certain preferences, let's say, for men. But, yeah, like, the interplay between Akshay Khanna and the daughter is fun. He's always, like, asking her for a stick of gum or something.
Yeah.
And she's like, nah. And I wish there was more of him. I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of long, but you could say that about most movies.
Well, and I'd say, like, maybe, like, one of the complaints you could make is all the characters are, they're one note.
Yeah.
I think, like, kind of the most dynamic is Khanna San Sharma, who, like, kind of has to have a makeover throughout the film. But I do really love that we're shown kind of a girl who's a bit unkempt.
She's sort of just, like, unthinking and doesn't realize how annoying she is.
Yeah, and again, like, kind of, like, snotty, like you say, like, wiping her nose.
She's kind of gross.
On her. Which I kind of like. I kind of, but...
That's another sort of rare role for women, is, like,
the
local gross lady.
And it's... local gross lady. It's, but it's not like she has to have, like, some sort of, like, Eliza Doolittle makeover.
She just has a shower. She and combs her hair.
But it's not like the, like... That, like, the movie asks her to, like, change who she is in order to get Kunal Kapoor. It's
Madhuri says you need to play hard to get, which she never considered in her life before. And this immediately works. Within, like, 30 seconds, he's like, wait a minute. She's not following me around. What's she doing? I gotta go look.
But Madhuri is not trying to, like, change her entire, like...
No.
Like, yeah, not trying to change her entire being. Madhuri's just a bit, little bit like, can I give you some tips?
I also liked how, I guess this is kind of a spoiler, but it's not a huge spoiler. She doesn't stay in town.
Yeah.
Like, she has built a life in New York. Her daughter doesn't like India, so it makes sense for her to move back. But, like, she could stay and be the queen of town or, like, run this thing. But she showed them how to do it themselves.
Which is
They can run the theater themselves and they can make art for themselves.
Which is, again, so important because, it's like I said, it's not about her artistic ego. It's about the importance of the community.
The Leila Majnu was inside them the whole time.
Yeah, so it's just, like, again, like, sure, maybe all these characters are, like... a little one note, a little flat. But I got really invested in this movie. I don't know. Maybe it's just like there's something about certainly how divided and kind of uncertain so much of kind of life these days is, that a movie that I think has a really positive message that just felt really uplifting really kind of got to me. And I think there's like that's important. Is it, you know, going to make, sorry.
It apparently didn't do that well, so that's what we learned, is that perhaps in the cynical days of 2007, you know, the whole putting on a show routine was passé. But nowadays, it feels pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, maybe it still wouldn't resonate with people nowadays either, like, again, yeah, I think, like, it just has such a complete lack of cynicism.
It's definitely a role that only she could do.
Yeah.
Not everyone has that skill set.
No.
And her characters are generally, almost all the time, at least in her older roles, older person roles, they are artists themselves.
Yeah.
And the creation of art, the practice of art, is part of their character. And that's just inherently tied with who she is as a performer.
And also, like, I think this is very clearly, like, a more mature role than Devdas and everything we've seen kind of before.
Yeah.
Like, I kept trying to say, as new notable men would show up on screen, I'd be like, oh, that's who the love interest is going to be, or that's who the love interest is going to be.
Yeah.
And eventually I realized, like, while they do at the end kind of hint to a romance between her and Akshay Khanna, that's not what this is about. Like,
no.
And
she chose herself.
Yeah, and going forward, none of, like, Gulab Gang is not about her and a guy.
Yeah.
Dead Ishqi is not about her and a guy.
Ma Jama definitely isn't.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, this is, like, this is kind of, it's a different lane than what we have previously, because, you know, a lot of the films we've discussed, she's Shah Rukh's love interest, she's Anil Kapoor's love interest, and I do love all those movies, but, you know, this is her.
Oh, yeah, maybe if you're literary addiction and choosing your own scripts, you're going to say, like, oh, I don't really want to be a love interest, or I don't really care about that. I want to do a story about the creation of art.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you think of the musical numbers? I think they're all great.
Yeah. I think What's Your Jawa? I like that the best.
Yeah.
The going around town, finding out everyone's special talent was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed all of it. Yeah. And the Leila Majnu performance was really, really well done. They really got a lot of money out of that stage. Like, that was a very expensive production, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah, I think all the musical numbers are great. I think Ajay Nachli was my favorite. Although I did also really like that opening number in the dance studio in New York. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
This is, like, also, like, a family friendly film, which I really appreciate. Like, I might have found the girl, like, the daughter a little annoying, but I also think she's a good insert because, you know, I can see kids really enjoying this movie. It kind of, there was aspects of it that kind of reminded me of, you know, like, the kind of movies we used to get in the 80s.
Yeah. Like Break Into, Electric Boogaloo.
Exactly. Or the 90s.
It's kind of got a Disney Channel vibe.
Well, it does, right? And I don't know. I think that's something that I really responded to. I guess I can see how if you've been waiting 5 years for Madhuri Dixit to be on screen again, and the last thing she was in Devdas, this might feel...
It's a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, exactly. This might feel a little bit like a disappointment. But yeah, from our 2025 vantage point, looking back... with our 2025 anxieties, this was, I think, a movie that kind of reminded me about good things in the world, and that was kind of something I needed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Should we take a break?
Sure. Well, our interval song is Ajay Nachli from Ajay Nachli. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
was Aja Nachle from Aja Nachle. Moving on, we are jumping over an entire decade and into...
We have watched some of those ones in the meantime. But yes. There really weren't that many.
No, no. But like I said, we have discussed Gulab Gang. We should find a way to discuss Dead Ishkia.
Yejuani Haidivani we've seen.
Yeah.
And Kalank we've seen.
Well, I mean...
And the Fame Game we've seen.
Like, when I talk about jumping over a decade, like, I guess...
She wasn't really working. She wasn't doing that many movies, though. So, like, we've seen most of her output.
Yeah. So now we're jumping into 2022.
So this would have been kind of a disappointment if I was a huge Midori fan. Because, like...
Are you not a huge Midori fan?
Well, I mean, I'm not the sort of person who's just, like, waiting for her every move. Right? Yeah. Like, because I enjoy watching her movies, and I have seen most of the recent ones.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not waiting by the phone to find out when the next one is. So the last one was Kalank.
Which is nice, because we haven't seen her in Jennifer Mulgrave. That's why we do this show.
Yeah, but, like, Kalank, kind of boring and kind of slow and ponderous, but I thought her dancing was pretty good and I liked all the costumes. Mm-hmm. So, like, she leaves on kind of a high mark where...
Yeah. And Total Demal, which also 2019, is just, like, a big
ensemble... It's going to be a, ensemble, just a bit she shows up for.
Yeah, it's a big ensemble comedy. It's, like, her and Anil Kapoor playing off one another, but it's hijinks, right?
Yeah, like, that's not a real movie. That's a paycheck. And Kalank... Yeah. Kind of misguided, but it was real, and I don't think she was the problem with it. Aditya Roy Kapoor was the problem with that film.
One of them, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, she goes away for 3 years and then comes back with this. Mm-hmm. And you're going to tell me who's in it.
Well, this is Maja Ma.
Yeah.
Directed by Anand Tiwari, starring Madhuri Dixit, Gajraj Rao, Rajat Kapoor, Shiva Shada, Ritwik Bhomik, Barka Singh, Srishti Shriastava, and Simone Singh. And it was also, like, Ajay Nachle, not well-received. Critics did like Madhuri Dixit and Gajraj Rao's performances, which we can get into. And it was released straight to streaming. I don't think I mentioned that. It was released straight on Amazon Prime. So
2022 is still pandemic time. So.
Yeah. Although, like, it really feels like a streaming movie.
Yeah. It looks like one for sure.
Yeah, we've discussed how that kind of perception that you used to have about stuff going straight to streaming means it's of lesser quality has really gone away, especially with Hindi language
movies.
But with Maja Ma, it still really felt like a streaming movie. So yeah, why don't you tell us what this is about, Matt?
Yeah, this movie looked like it was shot with the Instagram cinematic filter on. It didn't look bad, but everything was very muted.
Yeah, and I think, like, when we were setting up this episode, we thought this would be a better pairing with Aja Nachle than Dead Ishkia, because again, she's the lead, and also because, like, the synopsis kind of talked about how everyone in town loved her dancing. So I think I thought she was going to be more of a dancer.
This is a very small plot point in Maja Ma.
Well, it was like, everyone loves her dancing and her cooking in this town. And I was like, oh, that'll go well with Aja Nachle. Anyways.
Yeah. So in this movie, Madhuri Dixit plays a 50-year-old woman, maybe? Mm-hmm. She looks the same, though. It's hard to tell her age. She's ethereal. She's married to Gajraj Rao, who we've seen in many... comedic roles, and I was thinking specifically of Bad Hi Ho.
Yeah.
He's so good in that, and this movie feels like it's ripping off that and Bad Hi Do, which I'll explain in a second. But it feels like a quote-unquote social issues movie that sort of just forgot to have movie elements. Mm-hmm. It is all issues, no film. But I'm not going to remember the other characters' names. Madhuri, her son wants to get married to this fancy family in Texas, their daughter.
He's living overseas.
He lives overseas. Yeah. The family has political ambitions. The dad has the craziest accent I've ever heard in a film.
Mm-hmm. That's Rajat Kapoor.
Yeah, he's supposed to be an NRI who lives in Texas, and his accent is... all over the damn place. I have no idea what he's trying to do there. And the mom, she's also in Bad High... She's definitely in Bad High Do. I don't think she was in Bad High Ho. But she's always great when you need a sort of angry mother figure.
Shiva Chada.
Yeah. Like, she's... I think that she's actually pretty good in this. I would say that her, Gajraj Rao, and Madhuri Dixit are kind of carrying this thing. She's mostly talking in English, though, and her accent is also a little weird, but it kind of makes sense for her because, you know, she doesn't have political ambitions. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as they brought up that this guy wants to go into politics, I'm like, okay, well, his accent is crazy. But they are very, very rich and also, I guess, very, very paranoid because they make Madari Dixit's son take a polygraph test before they'll allow the engagement, I guess, on their end. This is a weird thing to do. And I guess he passes. But what happens next is the whole family comes back to India to meet Madari Dixit and Gajraj Rao. And Madhuri Dixit's annoying, I guess, niece?
Yeah.
I don't really know how she was related. It wasn't entirely clear. But she's going around recording people to make a movie for this, for the Sangeet party, I think. Mm-hmm. And
well, no, it's like a big, like, Navratri party.
Navratri party. Yeah. Yeah, it's a big party.
Yeah.
And anyway,
and they do Garba. It's the best moment in the movie.
Yeah, and she inadvertently or advertently, I guess. She doesn't really understand what Madhuri Dixit is saying.
Yeah.
But she is telling her daughter, who is a queer rights activist, despite not herself being gay.
Yeah.
Interesting character for this, I guess.
Yeah, she's an LGBTQTIA plus activist, but she herself appears to be a cis woman.
She's at least married to a guy and, like,
yeah,
she might be bi, I don't know, but, like, it's a little bit odd for this character who's so
it's
much...
It's implied she's not queer.
Yeah, like, it's just odd. Like, yeah, this character who's supposed to be, like, oh, I'm very progressive, I work at this, you know, queer health center or whatever, but I'm not gay, though. Not
and
gay.
And she's studying, like, gender and sexuality,
yeah,
getting her PhD or something. Like, I do want to say, I mean, like, obviously, like, you and I are both cis and straight, but I think we would both consider ourselves allies. Like,
yes,
you know, obviously you don't need to be a part of the community to be an activist.
You don't, but it would make your movie make more sense. If, like, well, they could have invented any sort of character to fill this role. And the fact that they... So what happens is essentially that Madhuri says, like, I don't need to hear all your stupid theory about queerness. I am gay. And the daughter doesn't...
I'm a lesbian.
And the daughter doesn't believe her. She's like, what are you talking about? And I guess they needed the daughter character to be maybe a little bit blithe and not queer herself for this reveal to work. But it's still just, it just reads off because you think that, I guess they're trying to get some sort of, like, hypocritical nature of the children because the daughter, who you think would be completely on board with this, kind of isn't. Not right away, a bit more than her brother. The brother is completely appalled by this. And what happens is the family coming from America, once they find out, they see the video, they're like, okay, wedding's over. We can't have someone marrying a gay woman's son. That's preposterous. So the rest of the movie is just trying to smooth it over with them. And we find out the son's kind of a careerist dickhead. And the daughter disappears for a lot of the movie, actually. Her character's not in it a lot.
Well, no, she is. She has a lot of conversations with her husband about, like, wanting to support her. And, like, she doesn't want... She wants to liberate her mom, so, like, the son wants to push her back into the closet, even though it's not clear if she even wants to be out, but the son
She definitely didn't want to be out. Like, she's...
But the son wants to, like, push her back into the closet, push her back into kind of the space.
Takes her to conversion religious therapy.
Push her back into, like, you are mom and wife.
Yeah.
And the daughter wants to push her, like, out in the open, which she also doesn't want to do. So it's like both children are not kind of respecting her autonomy and her identity and her individuality.
Yeah.
You know, because the daughter's like, well, I don't want my mom, like, living a lie. I want her to be free. I want her to feel like you can be out and open and it's accepted, like, I'm working with my activism.
That character is a good rendition of a certain sort of, like, academic who is very interested in theoretically solving problems, but when they actually encounter it in their own lives, they sort of clam up. Like, maybe I'm being a little harsh on it, but It just feels a little bit weird to write it that way.
Yeah.
But it is sort of realistic.
Yeah. And Gaush Raj Rao is just trying to understand.
Gaush Raj Rao is like, wait a minute.
How he could be a better husband.
He's like, wait a minute, you've been gay this whole time? And every time we had sex, you didn't like it? And she's like, yeah, you could have asked a few times. I'm like, wow, that opens up a whole other pile of wax in this.
Gaush Raj Rao is, like, I think incredibly sweet.
He's trying real hard.
He's trying really hard. He doesn't really understand what's going on.
He accidentally takes boner pills instead of his medication.
Yeah, I don't know. In so many other movies, I'd be like, the adventure of the old guy getting Viagra.
mixed up with other stuff.
Yeah, is like eye-rolly. But somehow Gaush Raj Rao sells it. I think
we needed it because the movie was so boring. As soon as the boner subplot starts, I'm like, all right, now we're cooking with gas.
I think it's because Gaush Raj Rao and Madhuri Dixit are the only two giving worthwhile performances. Like, really... I like Shiva Chad as well, but like the two of them are the only ones that have interesting characters that are doing anything.
Can I mention another movie to you first?
Sure.
The Birdcage.
Yeah.
Right? That is the essential plot of this. Right? Because it's like we have to pretend that we're not gay. Right. And in The Birdcage, it's an extremely open gay couple. What is it? Kevin Klein and Robin Williams, I think?
No, it's Robin Williams and Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane, yeah. Even more. So, like, in that, it's just sort of like, well, what
Kevin
if, like...
Kevin Klein is in and out.
What if the gayest guy... Yeah, I think so. What if the gayest guys ever who have, like, the perfect gay life, they run a nightclub, they live in Miami. What if they had to pretend to not be gay so that their son could get married?
Yeah.
In this one, it's... Madhuri Dixit, who is gay but has never really had a chance to act on it apart from like one time when she was a teen. We didn't even mention her love interest basically is her sister-in-law, right?
Well, her daughter's mother-in-law.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that not sister-in-law?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
You have sisters-in-law.
I know. But like...
Sisters-in-law are my sisters.
But like... The Birdcage is the way that this movie works. And when you don't have the funniness of what if very flamboyant people have to pretend to not be flamboyant, and instead it's like, what if a very repressed person who's never been able to do anything is pushed around by her kids the whole time, you just feel like awful.
Yeah.
Like her life is miserable.
Yeah. I didn't think of The Birdcage. I thought of Beginners, the Mike Mills film, where Ewan McGregor plays an adult man whose father, played by Christopher Plummer, comes out late in life. And it's kind of about Ewan McGregor having to come to terms with learning that his dad is gay. There's also like his dad also has cancer.
Isn't that the Paul Mescal one too? There's kind of that. With his kid and they go on vacation.
After Sun.
Did I just ruin the ending of that movie?
No, you didn't ruin After Sun.
The kid's not really understanding it, but it's also just coming to terms with your parents maybe not being exactly what you thought
they
were.
There's a lot more about mental illness than that. Anyways, so Ewan McGregor, like, his mom has passed away, and then, you know, his dad kind of comes out of the closet. There's also, like, Christopher Plummer also has cancer, so he's both gay and kind of dying. There is a cancer. Madhuri Dixit doesn't have cancer in Majama, but there's another character who has cancer, so just kind of... That, Beginners is obviously, like, a different film, and Ewan McGregor is kind of processing everything, I think, from a less I'm going to take you to conversion therapy kind of approach.
Well, it's also a less prejudicial society in a lot of ways.
Yes, but, and you know, and he's dealing with his kind of his own romance. Yeah. So it's, you know, in many ways it's a different movie, but it has that kind of same element of like, oh, my parent comes out later in life. And I do think, you know, I like some of the things that I think Majama has to say.
In theory, there's nothing wrong with this movie. Yes. It's in practice where it becomes a problem.
Yes. I think it is important to, you know, tell stories about people at kind of every age of life. I think it is important to reinforce that gender and sexual identity is not something that you can... come out at any point in your life. You have always been that person.
She honestly doesn't even really come out at all, though. Like, it's not...
Yeah.
It's still sort of kind of a secret. like, I'm not saying she needs to, but I don't even think there was the dramatic tension of, like, you know what, I am gay. Like, it doesn't even reach that sort of point. It's just sort of muddled the whole time.
Because it softballs everything.
Yeah, it does.
You know, and again, like, I do think it's important to say, you know, like, you people who are queer, you know, it doesn't matter if they've ever acted on that.
Yeah.
You know, you are who you are. I think, like, embracing who you are and that you can embrace that at any point in your life, I think, is a really important message.
The problem is, society to tell you what to do?
Yeah. The problem is that the film is just so didactic.
Yeah.
And really just kind of never wants to go anywhere. It wants to educate the entire time, except for when we have kind of these comedic elements with Gaj Raj Rao, which is kind of the only time that it really comes to life.
It has no energy otherwise.
Yeah. And I
feel like this movie could have been an email.
I do want to go back to the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I think my frustration with her as a character is not that she's cis and straight, but that I think it sidelines some of the activists within her activist group who clearly are not cis and straight.
It would be more interesting if they were more involved rather than having this go-between of the daughter.
It's just a little frustrating that we have a film about queer identity that, like, really goes out of its way to make one of the characters not a part of the community.
Yes, like, and that's the one who's telling us the most lessons for most
people. And she's the one who's always delivering the lessons. So, like, well, you know, but then I can talk myself into why it's a good thing, because we should see examples of cis-straight people who are allies and also who are willing to be at the forefront of this activism, to be at the forefront of the importance of LGBTQIA plus rights.
Yeah.
But it's just this is so poorly done is the problem. I am fully on board with what this film has to say.
You could see flirting at the edges a much better version of this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That would also have jokes and stuff. Because that's what, like, Bad Hi Ho did, right? Like, Ayushmann Khurrana finds out that his parents had sex and they were having a child, and he's very disturbed by this. That is not that far off from, like, finding out that his mom was gay. Like,
well, and Bad Hi Do also had jokes.
It has the gay plot. Like, there's a way to do this that is entertaining for the audience to enjoy.
Yes. I apologize for having, you know, again, two people like us try and navigate.
Yeah.
You guys know
us.
Well, try to navigate how to have this conversation, because I do think, you know, I would be interested in the perspective of people who are a part of the queer community with this film. I think, again, for us, we found it very frustrating, because these are themes that are really important. And I think
we've seen done well in other movies.
We've seen totally done well in other movies. And I think you can kind of balance the kind of PSA quality of it with the entertainment quality. You know, we have that in Bad Hi Do, in Chandigarh Kari, Ashiki.
You also have Madhuri Dixit, who's, like, the best dancer of all time.
Yeah. Like, and also, I think
you could write any sort of story, right? Like, you could have her be a dancer and have that be her job.
I mean, I do like this idea of
basically a housewife.
Yeah, the housewife coming out, you know, in her 50s and kind of, but I just think that the movie, like, and it hangs on these, like, on these lie detector tests.
And they bring the lie detector guy from Texas.
A stupid concept. Like, it's just so silly.
No one's going to watch this movie. But the second lie detector test is basically Madhuri has to submit to a polygraph so that her son can marry this family's daughter. And then it just hinges on them asking, like, well, have you ever had sex with a woman? And she quite rightfully says no. And then at the end, she's just like, yeah, they should have asked if I ever wanted to, because I did, but I never got to.
Yeah. It's like, or if I ever loved a woman.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, that's what a weird, like, you're just winning out of semantics because they asked the wrong question. Like, no one, like, these prejudiced Americans, their minds weren't changed. They're just like, oh, yeah, no, that must have been a rumor that she was gay. Anyway, I guess you can your horrible son can marry our boring daughter. Congrats. Like,
yeah,
the dramatic tension was gone.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, by the end, her son and her soon-to-be daughter-in-law accept her, but you never really feel like there's a sense of resolution. Like, it just...
Everything is just kind of in the same place it was when the movie started.
Yeah.
Right?
I do want to say a bit about kind of the roles that we're seeing Madhuri Dixit take and kind of the themes of some of the films. Mm-hmm. Because I have a lot of respect for that. You know, Gulab Gang is obviously about women's rights. You can listen to our episode where we talk about it.
And women's wrongs.
You can listen to our episode where we talk about it. I'm sorry, Matt, a bit of a spoiler, but like Dead Ishqia, she's also playing a queer character.
I think I knew that.
And
Bulbulaya comes up too.
In Bulbulaya 3, it's also a theme. And here it is, and I have, you know, I think, you know, she's certainly like a gay icon.
She's not accidentally picking these movies. Like,
no,
there is a reason behind her wanting to do these films, right?
Yeah, and I have a lot of respect for things that her movies are saying. I also think The Fame Game was fairly progressive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for that. I just think this was really poorly executed. And it is really frustrating because I think there's a lot of potential here.
Again, you could see the better movie just floating around. Like,
yeah.
Even the elements, I would get rid of all the characters except for Gajraj Rao and Madhuri Dixit. But again, there's a better way to do this. You would need better actors is the problem.
Yeah, it's just the execution is so poorly done. I think we were just so frustrated.
We had to watch it in two sittings. It was boring. I fell asleep.
Yeah. The dance scenes are good. It's Navratri. They're doing Garba. It's fun.
I like the flashback to when they were teenagers. Like, that was kind of well done.
Yeah. But I just, like... I think Madhuri Dixit's giving a good performance. I just don't think she has a good character to play. And I think...
And she's surrounded by very annoying characters.
Yeah, and I think you can do something a lot better with this. Like, this, on paper, is such a good idea for a movie. Like, I really like the idea of this movie. And I think the idea of
this
movie...
It's a combination
movie,
of Bad Hi Ho and Do.
Yeah. And the idea of this movie, I think, really does have a lot to say. I like by the end of it that, you know, her husband still accepts her and loves her, you know, but...
He understands that their relationship is just different and he...
Yeah.
How would he know? Because she never said anything,
and
right?
And again, like, I think this is such an important thing because, you know, you hear kind of this pushback against the queer community by saying, like, from an older generation that says, like, oh, we didn't have all these, you know, like, letters when I was growing up. And it's just like, yes, you did, but people couldn't be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it is incredibly important to say it doesn't matter at what age you come out. You know, like, or if you ever come out.
Have you ever...
Your identity is your identity, and that's important.
Have you ever seen this picture? This is great pod, by the way.
Okay.
Have you ever seen this picture, the survivorship meme?
No.
Okay, so I'm showing you in a picture of a World War II plane that has been shot a bunch of times in the wings and the tail. And what happened was, during the Second World War, I think it was the British, they thought, oh, all of our planes are coming back with holes in the wings and the tail. We should put more armor there.
Mm.
The problem is, the ones that got shot in the engine and where the pilot was, those ones crashed. Everybody died.
Right.
Those need more armor, not the ones who came back.
Mm.
Survivorship bias means that we find out, oh, there weren't any gay people when I was a kid. They didn't tell you for one, or maybe they, you know, they lived lives of terror and they didn't want to come out, or maybe they killed themselves. Like, the survivorship bias is you can't look at your own experiences and say, like, I never saw any gay people and accept that as reality because they were there. They just didn't tell you or they didn't make it.
Yeah.
And that is a more important and interesting way to make a movie, I would say.
It's the same as, like, that curve of
left-handedness.
People.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Or autistic people.
Yeah, there are these curves that show that kind of once these things became more accepted, that there was like an increase in left-handed people, and then it kind of leveled out. But for so long,
I think it just shoots up to like 10% of the population is left-handed.
Yeah, but for so long,
no one was left-handed before.
People were being forced to be right-handed because it wasn't accepted to be left-handed, which sounds like ridiculous now, which
but
is part
of
why
the nuns would hit you with a ruler. Like,
well, exactly.
You'd have to be trained to be right-handed.
Exactly. And so, you know, again, I think what this movie has to say is very important. I just think it does it very poorly, and it really fails at being an engaging movie. Like, it just... It felt like a really poorly done lecture.
Mm-hmm. Like, just, aren't you sad that sometimes people in their 50s have been gay the whole time but never had a chance to act on it? Yeah, I am sad. But, like, can you make a movie?
Yeah, I kind of hated everything in it. And I really, like... I guess, like, I did like the balance of kind of one child wanting to push her back in the closet and the other child kind of trying to force her out of the closet, and how, like, obviously pushing her back is a bad thing, but also, like, forcing her to try and be more out is also a bad thing.
This is like the mall thing,
but
though.
Again, it just like, is done terribly.
If you're the daughter, okay, play ball, get the son married off, he's probably moving back to America. Once he's gone, they obviously don't pay attention to India. Then you can work with your mom on, you know, coming out.
Yeah.
Like, for dramatic tension, they're trying to do it at the same time. But I'm just sitting there thinking, like, well, if you take your time on this, you could have everyone be happy.
Yeah.
Or at least seen.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, it's just dumb. Mm-hmm. You could build them all not on that hill. Build it somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. We had more to say about that movie than I thought, but it was us dunking on it for 30 minutes.
Yeah. I'll also say, sorry if I struggled with LGBTQIA+.
Because we're used to saying 2S.
I'm used to saying 2S, LGBTQ 2S+, because in Canada we include Two-Spirit, which obviously would not be in India because it is a...
It's an indigenous thing here.
It's an indigenous
thing. Look it up. It's interesting.
So I think I threw in some extra T's accidentally, so apologies for that.
Yeah.
I was trying to say it the way she says it in the movie.
Yeah. It's just, it's slightly different from what we see, so.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways.
Don't see Maja Maja. I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, I guess.
Maja Nachla, pretty good.
I guess, like, to close out Madhuri Madness for now.
Yeah.
What would you most like to see? What kind of movie would you like to see Madhuri Dixit in the future?
Hmm. You know, she doesn't seem like she wants to do action movies or anything.
Well, she did Gulab Gang.
She did Gulab Gang, but that was 11 years ago.
Mm.
And that was more like, what, a community group of women getting together to kill bandits and stuff.
Yeah.
But she is great in a historical romance.
Yeah.
So do one of those.
Yeah.
They aren't even making that many of them these days. They've changed the sort of films that are coming out, but she's really good in that. Or a show like Hiramandi, same sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if she could be a courtesan somewhere running some house, like, she's really good at that. And mm-hmm. she would do a great job dancing for some nawab somewhere. Like, you know, why not go to your strengths?
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I think I would like a film where she's the villain and can have a lot of fun with...
I don't think we've seen her in a negative role. I guess you're what you're saying about Dead Ishkia, probably. But.
Well, it's still not really a negative role, I would say. But like,
she's in the right.
I get, well, not necessarily. I think I'd kind of like to see her in like something like Taboo's role in Adadun.
That's such a good movie and such a good role.
Yeah, I think like, yeah, something... something kind of twisty where I think she could really have fun, like, manipulating.
If she needs a paycheck...
manipulating people?
If she needs a paycheck, she could take over Dinkle Kapadia role in the spy movie franchise. Because pretty sure she died, but, like, she could do that in her sleep.
Yeah, so, yeah, I would like something where she, you know, like... And get a bit of that, like, Pukar energy, like, her manipulative aspect in Pukar.
She should do a sequel to Tzap.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That'd be cool.
So I think that would be really good. I'd also really like just kind of a lighthearted comedy where she gets to kind of show off her comedic skills.
Because like an English Vinglish?
Yeah, kind of like an English Vinglish. I guess also maybe kind of like an Aja Nachle. Like, I think she's incredibly charming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could be, you could do something really fun.
She could do the Indian version of Book Club.
Or I was thinking like maybe like something like The Meddler. Susan Sarandon and Rose Byrne, like pair her up with a younger star, and you could do kind of something. I think there's a lot of things that you could put her in, that, and I think she'd be great in anything. I just think she actually needs
to
be.
She really was a menace in Pukar.
Yeah.
A lot of people died because of her.
Yeah. I think she just needs to be given out like an actual character to work with, which I don't think you have with Majima.
Yeah. Not like. And Aja Nachle, really, she could be playing herself in that movie.
Again, like,
it's not a huge.
Starting.
As much as I like that movie, it's not like a character study.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I would just like, you know, I think something that is on par with what a great actress I think she is.
She really hasn't had to stretch her acting muscles. She did in The Fame Game. There was some scheming and stuff. I kind of like that.
Yeah, exactly. You see why I'm like, I wanted to be like a manipulator.
I mean, I think there should just be more noir type pictures with women manipulators in them. We don't get that many of them, but you know, I generally like them when they happen.
Yeah.
She could be in like a Merry Christmas type picture. Mm. She should be in a Sri Ram Raghavan movie. That's what I think we figured out.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So it's, I mean, I hate leaving this series on such a negative note.
Well, are you ready for the next series? Because
we thought of
a way to continue, at least in sort of close name.
Yeah, so until we have some more Madhuri Dixit films to explore. And obviously, like I said, we have not seen every Madhuri Dixit film. We did not explore
We got a good sample.
Her entire filmography. We will obviously be watching movies that she is in in our
We're
other
not
episodes.
Doing an embargo. We're not watching them.
Yeah. But this kind of brings us to the end of Madhuri Madness for now. But you have a great idea on what to do next.
Yeah, so I know you guys love the alliteration. You've told me so many emails about it. You love it. That I thought, well, we had Madhuri Madness. What about Madhubala Madness?
Whoa!
So we're going to look at a few Madhubala pictures from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, Mr. and Mrs. 55, which has been a big blind spot of ours in learning about kind of 50s Bollywood, and Barsat Ki Raat, which is another like big deal one from back then, and learning more about the life of Madhubala, who had a pretty tragic life and has been like referenced in a lot of movies that we've seen, but we've really only seen her in Mughal-e Azam and I think either How Rob Ridge or 12 O'Clock, but like she's an interesting star and I would like to learn more about her.
Yeah. I would too.
Mm-hmm. So that's the plan.
Yeah. So that'll be our second episode out in March at some point.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Matt, how can people keep up with the show?
Social media is dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would suggest following us on Blue Sky.
Yeah.
You can. There's still so few people there. You could just look up Bollywood is for Lovers and find us pretty fast.
Yeah.
There's a hashtag DesiWatch. Check that out. People talking about Indian movies there, and that's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to follow you and I, though, I think, is Letterboxd.
Mm-hmm.
We often put little jokes on my reviews, and you can see exactly what we're watching and get a sneak peek of what we think of the films.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, check us out on Letterboxd.
You can also email us at bollywoodisforlovers@gmail.com, which I think probably actually is the best way to get a hold of us.
Yeah. If you have a burning question.
Yeah. If you're a fan of the show, please consider leaving us a review and a star rating.
And then email us.
If you'd like to collect some biffle points from doing that, email us to let us know. You can also check out my other show that I do with Paul Matwichuk called Trash Art in the Movies. We're going to be recording an episode right away here on Arachnophobia and Bug.
Two movies that make me very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Arachnophobia when I was like 5.
Because
it was, what, late 80s? And, I saw that way too young.
Mm.
And I don't like bugs, so, yeah.
Who does?
Not a lot of people.
Certainly not Michael Shannon.
And you thought it was eight-legged freaks. That's the funniest part of the whole episode. You're expecting the bugs to be very big.
Yeah, but I just thought David Arquette was going to be fighting giant bugs. I didn't realize John Goodman was going to be an adorable exterminator.
Fighting normal-sized bugs.
Yeah, anyways, check that out. We want to thank Becca Dahlke for our artwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tuffy owned by Midori Dixit.
Yeah.
So that's probably the best tie-in we've ever had since the last time we did this.
Mm-hmm.
Tuffy doesn't care if you're gay. Tell Tuffy you're gay. He'll be a great ally.